There will come a time when all that will be left is souls. No more football, no more basketball, no more soccer, no more malls, no more schools, no more banks, no more cars, no more computers, no more Snapchat or Instagram or Facebook. There will come a time when all that will be left is souls. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul strips away everything that distracts us. How do you perceive yourself right now? Let me give you a couple choices. Because the answer to this question will impact everything. It impacts my life. It impacts my preaching. How do you perceive yourself right now? Who are you? Are you a physical body that has a soul with it? Or are you a soul that is temporarily housed in a body? In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul poses this question to some Christians. In verse 1, he writes, "For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." When you look at these two pictures, everyone understands which one of these structures is more permanent. The tent is a temporary dwelling place. And Paul compares our physical body to a tent, and our soul to a house, but not a house that's made with physical hands. Because even that house would be temporary, but the house that Paul describes is a house that's eternal in the heavens, a house that is made by the very hands of God. Our soul will be moved from this tent, the temporary structure that it's in. It will be moved to an eternal dwelling place. And this raises our vision to see that there is something beyond this life. There's something beyond the here and now, something beyond the physical, something beyond what we're able to see with our physical eyes. You see, God has prepared us a building in the heavens. Jesus told his disciples that in his Father's house there were many mansions. He tells his apostles that in John chapter 14, trying to encourage them, trying to help them as they're dealing with the fact that Jesus is about to leave. And so he lets them know that in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places, many mansions. And he also tells them that he's going to prepare that place for them. We have a building from God. There are many mansions waiting for us, prepared for us by our Savior. So why do we care so much about our tent? Why do we devote so much time, so much money, so much energy into our tent? Our tent isn't going to last. Our tent is temporary. So do you care more about your temporary tent or your eternal home? Do you invest more energy, more time, more money in building up what's temporary or in preparing for what's eternal? In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 2, Paul, he continues to write. He's made this comparison between the temporary and the eternal, a comparison between a physical tent that's not going to last and a house that's made by the very hands of God. And then he writes, "For indeed in this house we groan, in our tent we groan." If you've ever been camping and you slept on the dirt, you've probably done some groaning the next morning when you get up. It's not comfortable. "In this body we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven." Does that describe us? Are we longing to be in heaven? Are we longing to be clothed with what God has provided for us, what He's made ready for us? "Inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. I've been doing some groaning lately, trying to recover from some surgeries. Age places a different spin on these words from Paul. I view these words very differently now than I did when I was in my 20s. I didn't fully understand these words back then. I didn't do much groaning in my 20s. I'm doing some groaning now. I understand them better now than I did 20 years ago, and I'm sure they'll take on even more meaning, a different meaning, as I continue to age. We're not meant to be here forever. When I was young, I used to read in the Old Testament about all of these individuals that lived so long. We think about Methuselah, the guy who lived longer on this earth than anybody else. And I used to read about individuals like that, and I would be envious of them. Now I read those stories and I feel sorry for him. To be in this life that long, to be burdened by the physical for that long, can you imagine being here for over 900 years? In this body we groan. In our physical tent we suffer. This should cause us to long for heaven. When we struggle in this life, when we face hardships, persecution, when our body just seems to continue to wind down and deteriorate, it should cause us to think about what God has made ready for us. It should cause us to think about heaven. Then we move to verse 6, and Paul writes, "Therefore, being always of good courage, in knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord." You know, Paul here on two occasions talks about being of good courage. Shouldn't that describe us as Christians? Shouldn't we be people who are courageous? We better be. Because it takes courage to follow after Jesus. It takes courage to stand up for what's right. If there was ever a time when Christians needed courage, it's now. If there was ever a time when we need that virtue, that quality in our life, because it's going to take courage to stand up. It's going to take courage to do what's right. So how can we have this in our life? How can we always be of good courage? Now, there are moments in my life when I feel anything but courageous. In fact, there are a lot of times when I feel discouraged. Why? Why do we get discouraged in this life? Well, I know for me, it's often because I have the wrong focus. If you focus on the physical, if you focus on the things that are temporary, you will continually be discouraged. You will continually battle discouragement. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul, he's writing to the church at Philippi. And he's talking about his life, talking about what's important to him. And in verse 21, Paul writes, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul knew he had a mission in this life. Paul knew he was here for a reason. He had been set apart by God to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And Paul, he spent his life from the point he was baptized fulfilling that mission. And it didn't matter what mountain he had to cross, what valley he had to go through, what river he had to swim. Paul was going to be dedicated to that cause. He took the gospel to the world. But Paul, as he examined his life, as he looked at his body, as he looked at what he was doing, he was able to come to this conclusion. "For to me, to live is Christ." If I'm going to live, if I'm going to be here in this body, in this tent, in this temporary structure, as long as I'm here, this life is going to be about Jesus. Can we say that? In the time that I have, however long or short it is, whether you have 5 days left or 50 years left, can we say what Paul wrote? Can we say, I'm going to dedicate my life to Christ. My life is going to be about Jesus. But Paul, he also understood that there was something better waiting. And so he looked at his life and he said, my life, while I'm alive, it's going to be about Christ. But you know what? To die, that would even be better. That would be my gain. Sometimes we look at death and we view it the wrong way. For us as Christians, the way Paul describes it, it's gain. The fact that we get our reward, that we get the opportunity to experience those mansions that have been prepared for us, that we get to go to that building that's been prepared by the very hands of God. And so that was Paul's perspective. While I'm here, I'm going to do everything that I can for the cause of Christ. But I'm looking forward to that day when I can be with Him. I'm looking forward to that moment when I get that mansion, when I get that building from God. That's what Paul is talking about here in 2 Corinthians 5. It's what he's writing about to the church at Corinth. You have to see what Paul is trying to convey. While we are in this life, while we are in this body, while we're in this tent, we're absent from the Lord. No matter how magnificent your life might be right now, it's nothing compared to what it will be. It doesn't even compare to what it will be when we're with God forever. No matter how great or how bad your life is right now, whether you have no struggles or you're just burdened, just seeming to collapse under the weight of struggles, there's something better waiting for us. Knowing all of this, shouldn't it change how we live? If we just consider these words that we've looked at right here from Paul, knowing that this physical body is temporary, even the comparison, knowing that we're just living in a tent, understanding that fact, shouldn't it change how we live? Shouldn't it change how we walk? Shouldn't it change how we think? And that's what Paul gets at right here in verse 7. Knowing that this life is temporary, knowing that the physical isn't going to endure, that our tent is not going to last. Paul, he shares this thought with the church at Corinth. We walk by faith and not by sight. This is one of the most challenging walks you'll ever take. Maybe you've taken some challenging walks in your life. Maybe you like to hike. Perhaps you've hiked up a mountain. Maybe you've hiked down some canyons. Maybe you've walked a marathon. Maybe you've had some of these challenging walks in your life. This walk described right here in verse 7 is the most challenging walk you'll ever take. To walk by faith and not by sight. To trust God. To trust Jesus. There's something else you need to know about this walk. Not only is it a challenging walk, it's also a rewarding walk. Maybe you've had some of these walks. Walks where you've been on the ocean and you're just walking there on the beach and you're just surrounded by water. Maybe you've been able to do that as the sun is rising or as the sun is setting. Maybe you've been able to walk up on a high mountain. You've just been able to see forever. And you just think, this is great. This is glorious. Perhaps you've taken a walk on a fall day when your breath was just taken away by the beauty of the season. No walk offers the rewards that a walk of faith can bring you. We walk by faith and not by sight. It's easy to just follow what we see. It's easy to just be consumed by the physical. It's easy to build up our castle here. But do you realize no matter how big of a house you build here in this life, no matter how much money you invest in it, no matter how much property you have, how much land you have, do you realize that it's only a tent? No matter how big it is, no matter how much it costs, no matter how many physical possessions you have, it can all be described with one word. It's a tent. It's temporary. And so that takes our perspective. It should shift it. Because no matter how long you live in this life, it's nothing compared to eternity. You think about Methuselah. He lived over 900 years. What is that compared to eternity? We think about our life. We make it to 70, 80, 90. We think somebody's lived a full life. What is that compared to eternity? And so knowing that, we live differently. We walk differently. We walk by faith and not by sight. Paul continues on. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. You see, everything is just building on that thought that's presented in verse 1. That thought that Paul pours out there to the church at Corinth. You have this temporary tent versus this eternal home, this eternal building made by God. And so because we have that comparison, such a contrast, the temporary versus the eternal, the tent versus the mansions in heaven, we're going to live differently. We walk by faith and not by sight. We are always of good courage. And then we have as our ambition. Now, this is our goal in life. This is our aim. This is what we live for. To be pleasing to Him. Paul is describing a heaven-focused life. This is a person who is longing for heaven. Longing for that building from God. Longing for the mansions. Longing for the place prepared by Jesus. Sometimes I think we get too comfortable here. Sometimes I think we try to build our mansion here. When there's some things only God can build for us. There's some things only God can prepare. So Paul is talking about a person who isn't focused on the physical. He's not focused on the tent. This person is thinking long term, thinking eternity. And so their focus is on heaven. Their focus is on God. And this is a person who is also focused on pleasing God. We have a lot of ambitions in life. We just have a lot of goals that we're pursuing. If you were to go back and you were to just chart the different goals that you've had in life, what goals did you have when you were in high school? I know my daughter, Jalen, she has a lot of goals right now. Junior in high school, there's a lot of things that she wants to pursue. I was the same way. Then I get to college, and I had more goals, different things that I wanted to pursue, things that were on my mind, things that were on my heart that I wanted to try to accomplish. Then I get up into my 30s, and I still have goals. 40s, it's the same. There are so many goals that I've had in life. And Paul was no different. But when you look at Paul's life, there was something that was at the top. And for all of us, right now, there's something that's at the top. There's something that's most important for us right now. Out of all the goals that we have, if you just wrote down 5 goals that you're pursuing right now. If we're just going to get into a motivational speech, everybody get out your paper, write down 5 goals that you're pursuing. All of us have a number one. All of us have something that's at the top of the list. Something that we're going to devote more of our energy, more of our time, more of our strength to. More of our life to. And Paul was able to say, Church at Corinth, listen here, Christians. This is my ambition. This is my goal. In fact, I can just bring it down. I can narrow it down to one thing. This is what I live for. To be pleasing to God. Could we write a more important goal? Could we write something out that's bigger, that's more important than that? I've read on many occasions that a goal is only a wish until you write it down. I encourage you to write this down. I encourage you to put it on your mirror, put it on your dash of your car, put it somewhere where you see it every day. This is my goal. To be pleasing to God. Today, I want to live a life that pleases my Father. Tomorrow, my goal stays the same. I want to live a life that pleases my Father. This person, described by Paul in 2 Corinthians 5, is focused on heaven, focused on pleasing God, focused on eternity. Let me show you why this matters. Let me show you why we need to embrace what Paul is writing. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. This is why it matters. This body, it isn't going to last. Our tent is going to be destroyed someday. What then? What happens then? If we know that the physical is temporary, if we know that the physical isn't going to last, then what happens next? Well, we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's what's next. And we will all give an account for our life, for the deeds that we've done in our body. You see, there's a time somewhere out in the distance. There's a point out in the future when all that will matter is souls. Because if you can fast forward yourself and if you could place yourself right here in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 and you're actually right there in that moment where you're before Jesus on the judgment day and you're giving an account for your life, you're giving an account for everything that you've done, at that moment, I promise you, I guarantee you, you won't care about football. You won't care whether OU lost or won. You won't care about basketball and what your three-point percentage was this past year. You won't care how many goals you scored in soccer. You won't care about schools, banks, cars, computers. You won't care about your social media feed. In that moment, all that you will care about is souls. What we see all around us, what we devote so much of our time and energy to, it's all going to be gone. And all that will be left is souls. Knowing that, doesn't it make perfect sense to stake everything on God? Knowing that, it's only logical to walk by faith and not by sight. If you need to start that walk this morning, if you need to be baptized into Christ, we give you that opportunity now as we stand and sing together.